See everybody, a pleasure. Now the classical quote unquote shmooze is basically, you know, you quote a chazal, a pasuk, a mimer chazal, and you work it out. You ask a question, you have an answer, and then perhaps you add a mushal or a story to bring the point across. So I'm going to do just the opposite tonight. Just the opposite. I'm going to start with a maisa, if it's okay, because I have a feeling it may come across a little stronger this way. So this goes back, and I'm sorry to bore certainly my son there. I'm pretty sure he has heard this maisa from me. This goes back to when the yeshiva was in Eretz Yisrael in 77, 78. So there I was learning, and I received a phone call from an acquaintance in New York who was experiencing some difficulties in life, some emotional difficulties, and he wanted to speak to an Adol Ben Gadol. So he was going to come to Eretz Yisrael to speak to a Gadol. His problem was he only spoke English. He wanted to know if I would come along as the interpreter. And my Hebrew isn't that great, but I speak Yiddish. So I agreed to do it. And he traveled from New York. We met in Yerushalayim. And we were going to, my plan was to go to Bnei Brak to go speak with the stipler. I had already been at the stipler two times, so I was sort of a little familiar. So that was the idea, to go to the stipler. We traveled to Bnei Brak, and we got to the stipler's house. His grandson had answered the door and said that because the stipler was not feeling well, he wasn't going to be seeing anybody for a few weeks. So on the spot, we didn't want it to be a wasted trip. I figured like this, you know, we're in Bnei Brak. Nearby, of course, is the Ponovitch Yeshiva. And the Rashiva of the Ponovitch Yeshiva, basically either the Gadol or one of the Gadol Hador, was Rav Shach. So I figured like this. Obviously, I wasn't expecting, you know, a quick service. But I figured we'll see a gabbai or a shamus of some sort, then make an appointment. We'll come back in a day, 2 days, 3 days. At least it'll be quicker than my friend staying in Eretz Yisrael for, you know, 3 weeks. Now, you have to understand, Rabbi, say that at that time, it may sound a little strange, the media, and so certainly social media, wasn't like it was today. So there weren't pictures of Gedolim like you have today. So everybody heard of Rav Shach, of course, but I had never seen Rav Shach. I'd never seen a picture of Rav Shach. I heard of him, of course, but I didn't see him. So we walked over to Ponovitch Yeshiva. We climbed up the steps there, and we opened the doors of that massive, beautiful base medrash with that golden Aron Kodesh. And we're just like poking our noses in there, see if we can find someone who looks like some kind of shamus of some sort. In the corner of my eye, I had noticed in the back of the base medrash was an elderly gentleman standing by a shtender learning with someone. All right, I didn't pay attention and was still looking for a shamus. But it must have been not more than 45 seconds, perhaps. That elderly gentleman came over to us and said, "Ken ich euch helfen?" In Yiddish, which means, "Can I help you?" "Ken ich euch helfen?" So I explained, "I'm sorry to bother, but we're looking for a shamus because we'd like to make an appointment to speak to the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, Rav Shach." And this elderly gentleman said, "Nu oy bazoy lomaret, if that's the case, let's talk." It was Rav Shach. So if the story ended right here, it would be a shmooze itself. Not only he's got the world on his shoulders, he's in the middle of learning with someone. And it didn't take too long. Like I said, about 45 seconds, some American kids are peeking in the base medrash. Rav Shach himself comes over and he offers his assistance. So right there you have a shmooze. But he takes me by my hand and he takes my friend by his hand, and he walks us out onto that porch, that veranda around the base medrash, and he speaks to us for 40 minutes. 40 minutes with Rav Shach. I will tell you that there was one interruption. A elderly woman walked by and he didn't let go of us. He held on to us. He just said, "Zeit mir schuldig a minute. Please excuse me for a minute." He turned to this woman and he said, how are things going today? He said to her, and she said, everything is fine. Parenthetically, after we were finished with Rav Shach, I sort of like, I don't know, maybe you want to call it nosy, a little inquisitive what that was all about. Somehow I found that woman again. It comes out that she's the cook of the yeshiva, and she told me that every day, Rav Shach comes down to the kitchen to ask her how things are going. So he saw me up there today, so he asked me how things were going. That's shmooze number two, but that's not my shmooze. That's not the shmooze. Anyway, he spoke to us, like I say, for 40 minutes, as if there's nothing else in the world that existed. This is for a man who has the entire world on his shoulder. And we finally finished with him, and it's a separate shmooze, so to speak, what went on during those 40 minutes. But we finished, and we bid each other farewell. We said goodbye. We started walking away. And after we took a few steps, he called us back. And he said to us, Zol Zayin Mit Hatzlacha. Zol Zayin Mit Hatzlacha, which in English means, it should be with success. Whatever we discuss should meet with success. So that puzzled me a little bit. We spent 40 minutes and we walked away. You know, a gadol doesn't do anything for nothing, but I couldn't figure that out. Why did he go out of his way to call us back just to say Zol Zayin Mit Hatzlacha? Anyway, we came back to Yerushalayim. Just parenthetically again, I will tell you that I mentioned this meisa to the Rosh Yeshiva. And the Rosh Yeshiva that week gave a shmooze about the difference between someone who has godless and a gadol. There are people who have godless. He's an amkan, he's a baki, he's a lamdan. They have godless. But that's not what a gadol is. And he told the meisa that I had told him. He told us to the yeshiva, and he says, that's a gadol. That's a gadol. Anyway, it lingered in my mind what Rav Shach had done. And months went by, and years went by. 10 years later, Rabbi Isai, 10 years later, I come across a Gemara in Shabbos, which I have in front of me. I'm reading from it. If you want to look it up, it's a Gemara, Pei Tes Amud Aleph. And it relates to our upcoming Yontif of Shavuos, Kabbalah HaTorah. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, "B'shosh Shalom Moshe l'Amara, when Moshe went up to heaven, whatever that means, Matzul HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shayakosha Kesarim Losios." He finds Hashem sitting in his office, so to speak, and he's filling in the antennas, these little antennas, these pointers that on top of certain letters in the Sefer Torah, Hashem is filling them in. Amar lo, Moshe Rabbeinu is standing there, and Hashem says to Moshe, "Moshe, ain shalom bi'ircha, where you come from, they don't say hello." Now, gentlemen, how would you react if you were Moshe and Hashem said that to you? Where you come from, they don't say hello. Okay. So Moshe Rabbeinu has an answer. Klum yesh eved shenosen shalom l'rabo. When a servant meets the master, so the proper thing is that the servant should wait for the master to start this conversation, not vice versa. So I'm the servant, you're the master. I didn't want to start the conversation. I didn't want to say anything. So I was waiting for you. Amar lo, so Hashem says back to Moshe, Azraini, the least you could have done is helped me. I mean, you see, I'm working on something. The least you could have done is helped me. Miyad, immediately, which Rashi, by the way, says, doesn't mean immediately. It means it's in a different encounter that Moshe had with Hashem. Omer lo Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Bi'ato, and now Yigdal no koach Hashem kasher dibarta. May the strength of Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, become greater as you spoke. Okay, but that happened a different time. So obviously, you're troubled with the same thing I'm troubled with. Hashem says to Moshe, you should have helped me. What in the world does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu is going to help Hashem. Rashi, gentlemen. Ibrahim Askel Azraini. Lomar, you should have said, Moshe, Tatzliach melachtecha, zol zayin mitatzlocha. It should be met with success. You're working on something, Hashem. It should be met with success. I'm reading this Gemara, this Rashi gentleman, and 10 years goes back in my mind. What would you say? Is it a fair assumption that Rav Shach knew this Gemara? What do you say? Fair assumption? And now I understood why 10 years earlier Rav Shach called us back and he said those four words, as the title of tonight's talk is, Zol Zayin Mit Hatzlacha. But Rabbi, usually we say a shmooze on a Gemara, on a Medrash, and on a Rashi. I don't want to say a shmooze on a Rashi. I want to say a shmooze on a Dibra Hamaskel, the Dibra Hamaskel of this Rashi. I don't know if it's ever been done before. Don't report me. Gentlemen, the Dibra Hamaskel of that Rashi is La'azreini. You should have helped me. And what does Rashi say? Rashi says you should have said Zol Zayin Mit Hatzlacha. It seems that Rashi is telling us what's pshat in helping someone. When you wish them hatzlacha, when you see someone going on an endeavor, beginning a job, going on a journey, starting something new, just saying the words, Zol Zayin Mit Hatzlacha, that's la'azreini, that helps the person. It's an emotional, psychological kind of working, that when a person starts something, he's working on something, he doesn't know if he's going to succeed. Deep down, he always has that bit of, you know, anxiousness. Will I succeed or not? When he hears the word success, when he hears the word hatzlacha, wow, a light bulb goes on his mind. I could do this. That is helping the person. Rabbi Yisai, an unbelievable Musa Haskel here from the Dibur HaMaskel. Just saying to a person, Zol Zayin Mit Hatzlacha, could change his life. Imagine if he's starting a new job for a parnosa to support his family. Imagine he's building a building. Imagine he has a position like our friend Rabbi Schwartz here, where he's got to work day and night for the yeshiva. And he keeps on encountering different, who knows, roadblocks. Mistame, he's hit a few roadblocks on the way. And meeting Rabbi Schwartz and just saying to him when he's getting out of into his car one morning, say, Rabbi Schwartz, Zol Zayin Mit Hatzlacha. That's going to help Rabbi Schwartz during that day. That Paskin's Rashi, la'azreini. So Rabbi Yisai, an amazing Rashi here. Now, who would have thought just saying something, not even lifting a finger? And obviously Hashem is not asking for Moshe's help. Hashem doesn't need Moshe's help. Nothing that Moshe can do to help HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us a message here, is teaching us a lesson with Rashi's help. That you should have helped me. That Hashem is saying to Moshe, yes, just wishing me good luck. Just saying good luck. So Zaymet Hatzlacha. That's going to help a person out. That's the lesson Hashem is teaching Moshe, that Rashi is helping to teach us. So Rabbi Yisai, I hope the message was conveyed properly. I really meant to announce in advance that this learning should be, and by now I'm sure everyone heard of the tragedy and that happened at Yisrael, should be l'zech nishmasam, it should be a refuah shleima for those who need it. I also want to add, let's be a schus for the neshamas. I lost my mother 3 months ago. I lost my mother-in-law 3 weeks ago. Both living in our house. So we had the schus of having them, but should be a schus for their neshamas as well. So please, I know, according to the rules, Rabbi Schwartz, do I have to ask? Does anybody have any questions? I don't know. Does anybody have any questions? Is that part of the deal tonight, Rabbi Schwartz?
Sure.
Uh-oh, am I in trouble now?
I mean, quick question. Do we know if that's a psychological thing, or is it some type of, like, when you're giving a bracha, you're actually doing something spiritual? Or are we just guessing as to what pshat is?
So that's a good question. Is it a mystical kind of thing? Is it a mystical kind of thing? I don't know. I mean, it would be too much of a chiddush, I think, to say that, rather than, as Rashi says, Loma Tislach Malachtecha. So what does that mean, saying that? That means if you're saying it, the person's hearing it. If the person's hearing it, it seems to be a an emotional kind of thing as opposed to a mystical kind of thing. It's a less of a, we don't have a right to say so much of a chiddush that's a mystical thing, but it seems that emotionally, just hearing the word success, you never a person, oh, deep down, even if you won't admit it, he may not admit it to himself, but he may be anxious, maybe have a little, that dirty word, stress, you know, which usually is all about money. Never notice the word stress has three S's in it, put a line through each one of them, you know, it's usually over money, you know. So hearing the word success, wow, there could be success at the end of this road. It's unbelievable. So that's why I lean towards an emotional, psychological, you know, effect that it has on the person.
There are a few S's in success as well.
I like that.
Can I ask what you spoke to Rabbi Shach about?
Didn't Rabbi Schwartz say 20 minutes?
We have all the time.
I'll tell you in a nutshell. First of all, I learned the word in Yiddish that I didn't know beforehand. Nervous. This friend of mine kept on talking about the fact that he's nervous, which he really meant stress. Nervuza. The Yiddish word for nervousness is nervuza. So that's what I learned from Rav Shach. That's one of the things I learned from Rav Shach last night. But in a nutshell, it really boiled down to something the Rosh Yeshiva had shared with me at a different occasion. I once asked the Rosh Yeshiva a gutsy question. You know, I don't know if you're aware of it, gentlemen, but after being a Rosh Yeshiva for over 60 years, he counseled many people, not only in the yeshiva. He counseled people. I was at his house. I used to hang around the house a lot. And I was leaving the house one evening, 11 o'clock, 11 p.m. And there was a stranger sitting on the couch waiting for the Rosh Yeshiva. A guy, not from the yeshiva, I didn't recognize the guy. I found out afterwards that years earlier, the Rosh Yeshiva had met this fella sitting next to him on a flight somewhere and got to talking, and this fella was expressing some troubles that he has, and the Rosh Yeshiva was schmoozing with him, but at the end of the flight, the Rosh Yeshiva said, please, whenever you want to talk, just come over. He gave him his address. So this guy, 11 o'clock at night, this guy was sitting in the Rosh Yeshiva's house, waiting for the Rosh Yeshiva. So the Rosh Yeshiva counseled. So I saw this time over time. So I asked him once, something to the effect, I know you're a very smart man, but how many different answers can you come up with so many people, I mean, thousands of people counsel with you. So he told me an unbelievable thing that I know changed my life. He said, every problem in life, listen to the Russian gentleman, every problem in life is either a lack of humility or a lack of bitachon. And then he added, even a lack of humility is a lack of bitachon. So it ultimately, it goes back to a lack of bitachon. So the trick here, the trick Rosh Yeshiva said is only to figure out how this person's problem traces back to a lack of bitachon, a lack of humility, a lack of bitachon. That's the only trick. But every single thing that a person experiences, every problem, goes back to either one of those two and ultimately to bitachon. So really, that was Rav Shach's shmooze, that all the problems this guy has was due to stress and nervousness and anxiety and wondering what's going to be. Did I do right? How am I going to do it next time? And the basic message of Rav Shach was, you got to work on bitachon. Got to work on bitachon. That's in a nutshell. That was the shmooze of, of course, it was 40 minutes of golden nuggets just to hear Rav Shach and feeling his hand holding on to you. It was a tremendous chus. I attribute it to this fella. He must have had a tremendous chus. Because I've spoken to people who spent 10 years in Ponovich and didn't have more than 5 minutes alone with Rav Shach. So it's an amazing thing that we got 40 minutes with him. Sat Shmaya. Okay, was I Yotze, Rabbi Schwartz?
Yes, thank you very much.